of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
30 seconds, you might learn something.
Number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your mise en place. Here are the Good Brothers.
Super over. It's almost too much.
It's too much rock.
Never
too much rock.
I'm adjusting the sound as we're talking.
Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. It's your boy, Chef Plum. Chef Jeff.
Soon tonight to be joined by the returning podcast icon. The rumor mill has it, Jeffy the Dave is in the building.
Dave Boredom?
In the building, apparently.
In the flesh?
Apparently. Now, that's all rumors.
I smell smoke.
Well, it definitely could be. It also could be rumors. Who knows? I hate that bed. Play the other bed. It could be rumors.
Well, there's a lot of rumors. There's a rumor mill right next door.
Right. Well, part of it is, too, you're sharing a headphone jack with him, so that's why your headphones sound low.
Oh, we're going to give it away that easy. Oh.
I mean, that was what they call industry jargon. I don't think anybody understood.
Gimmick.
I don't think anybody follows. Jeffy, what do you know about surfing? You ever been a surfer?
I know you have to float to surf.
Okay.
I float well.
You and I actually did some, we looked like two otters in
Mexico.
Yeah,
I body surf like an otter. And I eat off my belly also like an otter.
Is that really kind of surfing though?
You know, body surfing, by definition, is surfing of sorts.
I just don't know what the rules are. I don't know what the jargon
is. I've never been able to pop up, you know, on the board, pop up. I've tried a lot. I was in Costa Rica once, and it's supposed to be the easiest place to surf. Like, everybody was getting up and doing it.
Didn't work.
I was just getting down. It was great. I had a great time, though.
Listen, tonight, we got a new friend joining us on the program, the Surfing Psalm, a.k.a. Aaron Swain, is going to join us on the program, talking about wine, talking about surfing, and of course, we'll talk about my unbelievable surfing skills, being the Adonis that I am.
Absolutely. I could see you on a surfboard.
I think
so. Toes to the nose.
Yeah.
Yeah, hanging 10.
Listen, it goes right with driving my Jeep right now.
Yeah. Oh, dude, your Jeep looks like you surf, and your hair also looks like you surf
easy.
Right now.
Listen, so I have a rental car. I have a rental Jeep right now. That's what I have. It's not really. And my hair is a rental also.
Your hair is not a rental.
It's a rental. It's not real.
It's like if Buzz listened to punk rock.
That's not even.
Shut up, dummy.
That's a hurtful. I don't even know what that even means. It's
I don't
so
know
hurtful.
Either, but it's like.
It's so hurtful. Listen, I need to put a little more dye in it. I get it. And I have some roots showing.
Just a bit.
But we'll take care of that later. What?
You're like, and I have some roots showing.
I have some roots showing. Like it's a little.
Listen, two tone.
It's actually three tones.
What is? Yeah,
this. Look at the dark
there.
Roots, and then the lighter blonde, and then the purple. Yeah, you see it now.
Now I see it.
That's
Stripe.
Right. They call me triple tone.
You got
TT.
T3. Triple tone.
That's right. I'm going to get it taken care of. Don't worry.
Plume.
It's going to get taken care of. Your phone's giving us feedback. Can you move it? Thank you. Listen, here's the thing. We're going to get taken care of, Jeffy. I appreciate you worrying about my appearance. That's what you're very good at.
I think you look beautiful. Well, I think you look sexy as ever with that.
Really?
It's just, it's not as sharp. It's flat. So it's...
Like my hair itself is flat or the color is flat?
No, the color is lovely.
Okay.
The flatness is what I'm digging.
Well, I've been driving with the top off on a Jeep all day, so my hair is kind of like blow dried.
That's what it is.
Yeah. It's not the pointy. You want the nice pointy.
Yeah,
palm,
like. You usually got that faux hawk.
Right, and now
yeah,
it's just like
now you got this like
it's like a top afro.
Yeah, you got the flat top. You got the like wind blowing like.
That's right.
I don't care, bro.
Listen, I have beach hair. Don't care.
Beach hair. Don't care.
That's what I got. Listen, let me tell you why. Because
three tones of lavender beach hair.
Ever since I lost the Prius, aka the panty dropper, I have to do this with my hair right now, so at least I can make up for it, because I'm driving a fucking Jeep.
Yeah, Jeeps are whack compared
total
to
whack.
Droppers. Yeah.
Total whack. When I think of a
what's
Jeep...
What's a Jeep get? 12 fucking miles to the gallon?
That's it.
So bullshit. Stupid.
Jeeps are bullshit.
You got your top off with your hair all out, looking like you're taller than everybody in your ivory tower of a Jeep.
Well, listen.
I'm out here saving the goddamn planet
you
driving
are
a Prius.
Well, I hope to get the panty dropper back soon. Unfortunately, I'll be stuck driving a Jeep this weekend.
PD, baby, all day.
That's right. Also, later on tonight, we're going to talk about some of our summertime favorite dishes. Mm. I put a question up on the gram, and I've gotten several answers so far for people's summertime favorite dishes. And that what that ends up turning into will be us shitting on other people's dishes that they love for the summertime.
Maybe. Maybe not.
You don't think so?
Maybe somebody likes a hamburger in the summer. I love a hamburger in the summer.
Well, that's so late. I tell you, our good friend Cinnamon from the U.S. Navy sent some, man. I can't wait to just
oh,
run
I'm
him up and
rip
down.
All over Cinnamon because yeah. That's my favorite.
It's fucking Cinnamon.
Cinnamon, how are you?
Hysterical how we have a Navy friend named Cinnamon.
Yeah, it's not hysterical. It's kind of cliche.
I don't get it, Jeffy. I'm just kidding.
Don't kidding. Ask, don't tell, Cinnamon, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. You want to get on my aircraft carrier? Check it out.
No.
Listen, I'm going to launch an F-15. Here we go. So that's the plan for tonight. Also, we'll talk a little bit of wine with the surfing psalm. I'm excited to talk wine. I'm a wine drinker. Jeffy, are you?
I'm a drinker of many things, wine
yeah.
being one of them.
Do you find you like wine in the summertime more, in the wintertime more? Do you have a preference?
You know, I drink wine all year long. I do. I don't drink a lot of wine
yeah.
in the summer, but I do drink it with food almost every, you know, probably 4 or 5 nights a week.
Okay. In the past 4 days, the past 2 days, I've drank 4 bottles of rosé solo.
I definitely drink a lot more rosé in the summer than I do in the fall.
Yeah.
But I'm I love white, like wine.
People, what?
I love white wine.
Isolate that. listen, I'm a big fan of the rosé. That's my thought. I think it's great in the summertime. It's fantastic. I like, but I'm funny about it though, Jeffy. We'll
depends
talk
on
to
the rosé.
Aaron about this a little bit too. I like those Provence rosés. I like that dry French rosé.
There you go.
You know.
There you go. Thank you.
I don't want that fruity nonsense.
No,
don't come here with that cherry tasting bullshit.
With that Zinfandel shit.
Nah, fuck that. We ain't playing games.
Some old Riuniti.
I'll never forget that I was working in Florida at this place called The Vineyard. It was like a catering operation or whatever. And we sold wine as well. And this bitch came inside. I'm sorry. This woman, this fine lady came inside and said, where do you guys keep the expensive white Zinfandel? And I said, well, if you want the bottle, it's $8. If you want the box, it's $9.
I mean, there's got to be one that's $20 out there.
No.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Absolutely not.
I'm going to make one then.
What are you going to call it?
Jeffy's Love.
Jeffy's Love.
Jeffy's Love, White Zinfandel.
Is it a box or is it a bottle? What's it in?
All three.
Just get whatever you want.
Yeah, pouches, right. Bottles in the 4-pack. Jeffy's right. Love. You can get ooh. Any day, all day.
Well, this may be an idea we have to run by the Surfing Psalm.
Dude,
might be
I think
fun to
me
to
and the Surfing Psalm are actually, I didn't want to announce this with her or not on the show, but.
Sure.
Just
this announcement?
Well, you know, we'll talk about it later, but okay. I think, you know, there's going to be some collaboration work on Jeffy's Love. It's a new.
Do you mean there's going to be a collaboration for
yeah.
Jeffy's Love?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Barely.
Why don't we run to a quick commercial break, grab some beverages, and come back and talk a little wine. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea.
I think it's a fantastic idea.
I think it's a charming idea.
That's right. That's right. I think we should get back to making Ergo Chef commercials. Remember
stay
that?
Stay classy, that Ergo.
That was fun. Dude, last week's show was a lot of fun. If you haven't listened to last week's show, you should check it out.
I did listen to
not
it.
You.
I was on it.
People listening to the show right now.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
It was a lot of fun. Hey, oh,
just listen
really
to all the shows.
You know, before obviously I go to break, I got to just talk a little bit really quick about Seasoned, On NPR, hosted by your...
Seasoned. Is that the new show on NPR?
That's the new show on
about
NPR.
About Connecticut's food scene?
Yes. Well, the food scene in general is what we're heading towards. That's
yeah,
what we're building towards. Yep.
Yeah, that's...
Co-hosted by your friend and mine.
Oh, Chef the fabulous...
Plum. Chef Plum. That's
Chef
right.
Plum.
That's right. Today's episode came out. Episode 3 aired at 3 o'clock and replays at 11 p.m. tonight. You can
you
check
know,
out
WNPR.org. I have it saved because I subscribe to that awesome podcast
on iTunes.
Podcast on iTunes.
You can get it on iTunes. Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts, which is, I think, off of iTunes, right?
No. iTunes is dead now. No. I found that out today, by the way.
I don't know. I don't know anything. But I do know that I've subscribed to it. I got an alert today.
Oh
hey. New podcast.
There's a new episode.
My boy Chef Plum.
There you
with
go.
With the amazing Marisol Castro.
Marisol is fantastic. We love her very much. We talked to Brian Terry, who I want to get on this program, an amazing vegan cookbook author, but he's super cool. He's inspired from hip-hop. It's pretty dope.
Can't wait to listen to it.
The episode's really good. You got to check it out. Seasoned airs in the tri-state area on WNPR. And, of course, you can check out the podcast. Every episode is podcasted like everything else in the world is these days. Right, Dave? Yep. Everything's podcast. I mean, if Dave was here, he would
fuck
have answered.
Yeah.
If he was here, he would have answered.
That's what he'd say.
Yeah. He'd be like, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, check it out, though. You can, anywhere you get your podcast, you can find it there. You can even tell Alexa in your house to play Seasoned, and she'll play it.
Hey Alexa.
Well, she's not here.
Oh.
Hello, Jeffy.
I was going to have people learn. I was going to try to help people.
You're teaching.
I was teaching.
Let's get to a break.
Knowledge.
Let's get to a quick break, get some beverages, and come back here and talk a little wine. What do you say, Jeff? You in for that?
Wine all the time.
All right. Well, let's do that. Let's check it out. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live with Chef Plum. Chef Jeff, a.k.a. The Forking Chef. We'll be right back with our good friend, the Surfing Psalm. Stay right there. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah, Dave. Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, ErgoChef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM. That's ErgoChef.com.
It's new. It's improved. It's powdered water.
Powdered water.
Our team of scientists and water specialists have toiled many long hours to develop a complicated and proprietary formula. But the wait is over.
Powdered water is here.
It's totally organic. Gluten-free.
Gluten-free.
It's cleaner than Lake Minnetonka.
Powdered water.
We took powdered water to the streets of New York City.
To New York City.
And let some lucky people try powdered water.
I don't get it. Do I sniff it?
Powdered water.
So I add it to my water and it makes it taste better.
Powdered water.
Powdered water's amazing. I can feel the difference now. Wow.
Wait.
Wow.
Was that good?
Just read it.
Powdered water.
Powdered water may cause fits of hysteria, hip dysplasia, hypertension, restless leg syndrome, lupus, loss of toes, AIDS, insomnia, demonic possession, but in some cases, it makes me wrong.
A Sizzle Plate product.
Coming back live right here, Plum Love Foods Live. I am dealing with some sounds. I keep, like, getting over-modulation, Jeffy.
Over-modulation.
Means I'm too loud. I gotta fix that stuff.
It's kind of sexy though to be overmodulated, I think, right?
I don't know. Maybe it is. Anyway, coming back live here. I got a great program tonight here on a Thursday, Jeffy.
Thirsty Thursday.
It is Thirsty Thursday. I remember that when I was pledging a fraternity.
You pledged a fraternity?
I did twice.
Twice?
I never even like finished. Yeah, it's a true story.
This is for another episode, ladies and gentlemen. But
situation.
we're gonna I'm gonna dog ear this. Still you
Pylam Defy.
Oh my god.
That's a true story. All right, check it out. I met our guest tonight earlier this summer, and we've chatted almost every day since. whether it's talking food, whether it's talking wine, whether it's talking projects that she's got going on or I've got going on. There's just some people you meet and you connect with and you feel like, you know what, we have a great conversation. So I thought it'd be a lot of fun to have her come on the program tonight, talk a little wine. And maybe, Jeffy, I think she could teach us how to surf via the podcast. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure she's an amazing teacher, and I'm a great student. So,
right. Well, that's for sure. I think you're a great student, too. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the one, the only surfing Psalm Aaron Swain to the program. Aaron, good evening. How are you? Thanks for putting up with us getting through a couple weird technical issues and talking, but we're here and we're ready to hang out with you.
What's up, guys?
Living the dream right now out here. That's right. Having drinks and getting ready to have a great conversation with you about wine and whatnot. How about yourself?
Right on. I am drinking a little wine right now myself.
Good.
Always, every night. I'm doing rosé because it's summertime.
Now, every night, does that mean that we're all alcoholics if we're drinking every night? Because I drink every night, too.
Pretty much.
All right, well.
Pretty much.
I mean, are you drinking alone or are you drinking on the radio?
Yes. yes is the answer. Right now, I'm drinking with Jeffy and with you, and that's what matters. Aaron, let me ask you a question. So, you're out here on the east end of Long Island, but where are you from? Are you from here?
I grew up on Long Island. I grew up in a town called Setauket. An hour and a half from here.
Long Island girl.
Yeah. Yes. So you grew up out here, and you ended up here on the East End, and obviously you've worked in the city as well, right?
Correct.
Now, what was your first foray into wine? Like, what made you say, you know what, wine is the way I want to go. I want to be the surfing Psalm, not the surfing bourbon girl, not the surfing beer girl. What else can we say, Jeffy? Should we just go labeling the liquors all night?
Yeah, the surfing lemonade person.
Yeah, Spike Seltzer. I should have jumped on that.
Yeah, if you did that, I would not be your friend.
I don't know. It sounds like the guy that wants to make the Zinfandel might be in a can.
Well, we got to talk about that.
Well,
later.
The Zinfandel is going to be in. If we can get it in a pouch like a Capri Sun,
okay,
too,
that's not bad.
I mean,
or like one of those Gatorade gel packs, like.
Holla! Let's do this. I love this idea. You got me going, girl. You really got me.
No, stop. Turn his mic off.
Sorry.
But so what got you into wine?
Oh, okay. So my first job outside of college was at Bon Appetit magazine at Condé Nast. Dope. And the company gave me a bunch of money to take career-related courses. So I went to wine tastings at age 22 in New York City, mainly because they were free, and I liked learning about it. And so I started getting into it. I didn't even know what a sommelier was. I didn't know you could do that for a profession. And I just liked learning about it. And after a year in New York, I moved to Colorado to be a snowboarding bum. And that's when I met my first sommelier at a fancy restaurant. I was like, what? This is a thing? You can just learn about wine and talk to people about wine? So that's what I did. And I spent winters in Colorado, and then I spent all my summers and falls in the Outer Banks, North Carolina.
That's awesome. That's so beautiful down there.
Seasonal.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Outer Banks. So in all your stuff, you're learning about wine, taking classes, doing tastings and whatnot. Have you taken the sommelier test?
I did a few different things. I did a bunch of classes in New York at the Institute of Culinary Education. I did executive wine seminars. I did Kevin Zarelli's Windows of the World. Mm-hmm. Then I went out to Colorado and did my quartermaster's intro in Aspen. And I became a certified sommelier through the quartermasters in Seattle. And then I did Andrew Bell's American Psalm Association blind tasting. So
awesome.
I've done several different...
Yeah. So I'm kind of setting the table for your expertise is what I'm doing right now. And it's just... It's interesting to me. I graduated from the Culinary Institute of America. And for me... my wine class was probably one of the hardest classes I had to take at CIA, and you know, when you take that, you can pass, I guess, the first or second level SOM test or something like that, because it's so intense. It's basically 8 weeks of just 8 hour long class. I mean, it's intense, man. Is that kind
I
of
the had
same
the
idea?
Textbook for that when I was studying wine.
Oh, did you?
And it was like too intense. I was like, I can't read this. It's too in depth. It's very dry and it's very in depth. I don't know how that was just part of your curriculum.
Oh, they have a Cliff Notes.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I would use that.
Well, I
yeah,
tell
wine
you,
for it, dummies.
It, I have that.
It's interesting because the CIA, the test, though, is open book. the final, and you're allowed to bring your book, so everybody transcribes all of their notes into their textbook, but it's timed.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, it's a motherfucker. You have to taste like 10 different things and like talk about them and place the grapes and all. It's crazy.
I'm good at that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Aaron, let me ask you this: what do you think of Long Island wines?
So I do have an affinity towards Long Island wines, being from here. And I do like the wines on the North Fork, some of them. My favorite, Macari, Bedell. Mm,
good one.
I like Macari. I like Bedell. There's one little random one called Salper that I like. And it's a girl I went to college with making some wines. They do a good job with, for whites, I think they do a good job with Sauv Blanc. They do an okay job with Chardonnay. And then reds, they do a pretty good job with Cab Franc and Merlot.
Well, Cab Franc is a grape that grows here easily because it loves the soil and the water being close by. Cab Franc's a delicious grape. I think it's overlooked so often.
I know. I do, too. I like Cab Franc. I don't love the rosés by Cab Franc.
Yeah.
Have you had any of those?
I have. A lot of people also, they'll kind of fake the rosés. They'll fake Zayum, where they'll mix a little red with their white and call it a rosé.
Oh yeah, they're doing that in the Canary Islands right now.
It's pretty like cheating, but some people like it. It's pretty good, man. I don't know.
Like as a cocktail?
No, that's how they make the rosé.
Oh, like in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the style of making the rosé.
Well,
but do you guys know how rosé is made?
I do, but why don't you explain for everybody? It'd be fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know. I don't know anything. Hit me.
So rosé is a wine made from red skin grapes. So you can actually make a rosé out of Pinot Gris. Pinot Grigio, because Pinot Grigio is a gray skin grape. Mm. So any grape that has color in the skin, you can make rosé out of. And it's kind of just like when you're putting a tea bag in your tea, how long you want to leave that tea bag in there. See, oh my God, walked into so many jokes on that one.
Yeah,
to see how much extraction you want.
Yeah, so you know what?
Yeah,
thank you for saying that.
Oh, shit.
The color comes from listen. The color comes from the amount of time the skins are left in there, along with the tannins as well, that are in the wine.
Well, the tannins come from the skins too, but yeah, it's how long it macerates there. So most wines, like the Provence wines that Plum likes, are usually kept on skin contact for about 2 hours. That's it.
That's it? I didn't realize it was that short.
I know, I didn't realize that either, but I talked to the guy from Whispering Angel, and I asked him, and he said, yeah, for our Whispering Angel Rosé, it's about 2 hours.
Oh, I love that one.
That's a hot one. That's a hot rosé right there.
I mean, they've kind of put rosé on the map and made it an industry, so.
Yeah. So Whispering Angel teabags their rosé with skins for 2 hours.
Yes, for about 2 hours. Sometimes it's 2 to 4, but did you know that Whispering Angel has 5 different rosés?
Jeffy, did you know that?
I didn't know that at all.
5 different rosés. Wow.
So the Whispering Angel is their main brand, but the chateau is called Chateau des Clans. It's in Provence, and Sacha Lachine bought the vineyard because he loved going down to the south of France. He loved the memories of them all drinking jugs of pink wine, and everyone made this pink wine as like an afterthought just to bring on vacation. And he was the first person to go down there and say, I'm committing to only producing rosé. And he came from a Bordeaux family, so his father probably thought he was insane, and it was a terrible idea. But he went down there, and he planted Grenache, and he only made rosé. So they made the Whispering Angel. It has, like, all these statues all over the property that are, like, little angels, and they decided to call it Whispering Angel. They hired Paul Chevalier, a wonderful marketing man who made Cloudy Bay, Veuve Clicquot, and I think he worked for Latour in Burgundy as well. And they made Whispering Angel, but they also have Rock Angel, one of my favorites, is a little higher price point, and they actually oak age it. So that rosé.
I've never had this.
Yeah, if you drink, I'll get you a bottle, Plum. We'll have some Rock Angel.
I would love to try that. That sounds fantastic.
That blind,
don't call me Skip.
If you taste the blind and actually put a blindfold on you, you might call it a Pumini Montrachet. Like, you might mistake it for Burgundy because of the
really?
Oak bones. Yeah, and then they have Les Clans, and then they have Garousse, which is their top, and that retails for $100. That's been aged for 3 years on oak, and no one else was doing that because they wanted to just sell their rosé really quickly. They didn't want to age it in oak for a while. And then they made the Palm last 2 years ago, and that's a screw cap aged, like, targeted towards millennials.
So wait, Whispering Angel, the same people who do Whispering Angel do the Palm?
Yep. Yep, that's their that was their basic level that they just...
That's a good rosé, actually. It's not terrible.
Yeah, well, it's all their grapes, but you can see it's a little darker in color. They leave the skins on a little longer. They made it a screw cap and a cute label.
She goes deep, Jeffy.
You know, I don't know that much about rosé, and that's it's really interesting to hear all this stuff. I used to drink Domaine Ott way back in the day when it was cheap, and now it's real expensive, so then I switched to Whispering Angel because I can get it for 20 so a bottle, and it made me happy because that's what I like to drink rosé at.
Right.
Domaine Ott. Love it still, but now it's $50 a bottle.
Is it 50 a bottle?
It's 30.
It's 35 to 50. I mean, in the Hamptons, it's like 50. I mean, you got to buy a case, I guess.
If you're going to get a rosé, you don't need. If you want to get a good rosé, you don't need to spend 30, 40 a bottle. You don't have to at all.
And so it's like to hear, and I love hearing how it's made. I had no idea that it was that short of a time.
Oh my gosh, you know what you guys got to try? So pretty much, and I think I have the same palate as you, I like Grenache-based rosé. That's a Rhone varietal, Rhone in Provence, and Grenache-based rosés are, I think, the cleanest, the driest, the most higher mineral, and they're really great food wines.
And let me just help really quick to stop once just so I can catch it. Grenache is a type of, is a grape variety.
Oh.
Yep.
So, you know.
That's so Grenache is the
chocolate.
Grape.
No.
That's Grenache, not Grenache.
Oh.
So Grenache is one of the varietals that's grown in the Rhone. And I think that's what makes the best rosés. So if you go to California, they're doing a lot of Grenache rosés. And there's one in particular called Hogwash by Bechstoffer. That's a
love the name.
Yeah, and I thought you might. It has a hog on the front. And the Hogwash rosé is, I believe it's a screw cap. I can't be 100% sure. But it's a Grenache rosé from California. So it's super dry. And they're not all that fruity because it's Grenache. So people have figured out that that's what most palates love the best.
She's pretty fucking smart, huh, Jeffy?
She's a sommelier. Yeah, she's passed like every sommelier test they've offered.
How many tests have you passed, Jeffy?
Me?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of tests?
Well, I mean, like, for wine.
For wine?
Yeah.
Hmm. Let's see.
I mean, we did that one. We did that one yesterday.
Yeah, the test?
Yeah.
The one in the back of the magazine?
Well, you get to mail it in. Like they still said to mail it, and I was like, "We have to mail things."
I don't want to mail anything in.
I was like, "What's the website?" And they didn't
I think
have
I would
one.
Test well because I'm good at bullshitting.
Yeah,
and I have a great palate. So you just let
You'd
me taste something.
You'd be a great psalm.
And I'm like, "Well, the Surfing Psalm." If you want to hear more about her at the Surfing Psalm on Instagram, that's where you want to find her. She's our guest tonight.
That's it right there.
Follow her.
Jeffy's a phenomenal chef, so he'd make an amazing psalm when it came down to it. So listen, some of the other things you do that are kind of fun is you're doing these classes now, right now, right?
Yes. So I used to teach classes in hotels, in luxury hotels, for a great guest experience and in different areas. They'd come down and have a free class for a half hour. So I taught a class every single day for an entire year. So you kind of have to get really creative on your classes. So I have very fun, different classes that are approachable. And pretty much I force people to participate. Even when they don't want to, they don't want to say what's in the glass, I make them pick a non-fruit, I make them pick a fruit, and they can build their wine vocabulary. And now it's turned into a virtual thing just because of today's day and age. So virtual tastings and team building activities are my favorite things to do with wine.
Listen, I'm going to give you a term that you should have. It should be your hashtag. Ready? Jeffy, you ready for this?
Hit it.
Wine-cabulary.
Wine-cabulary. Mm-hmm. I was just going to say I love wine vocabulary too. The whole thing, the idea of knowing how to talk about wine.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's like opens up so many doors to be able to like it's like a new language almost, right? Like
especially when you do it in a non-pretentious way. I mean,
that's what I mean. Like when you're hanging out with people and really like going through it. Like I've had great times at tastings with friends where we've like, you know, hammed it up, but also really learned a lot about, you know, what was in it, you know, trying to taste the different things that people call out, you know.
It's right.
I really love that. I think it's awesome.
Oh, it's fun with chefs because you all have every single ingredient. My favorite thing to talk about wine, like if I pick a non-fruit, I say chervil. And no one knows what it is.
Why do you say that no one knows what it is?
well, chefs all know what it is. So you get a chef in the crowd, and I'm like, does anyone know what chervil is? And some chef's like, I love chervil. I use it in everything.
Like, I would just raise my hand and be like, I had one when I was a kid. It escaped. It's somewhere in my mom's house still.
Queen's Anne's lace.
Jeffy's tasting wine right now as he's talking to you. Yeah, that's what I think is so fun about it. And, you know, wine is becoming such a... You know, for a long time, wine was thought as like a thing you would have for a high-end dinner or something like that, where now... You know, sitting by the pool and drinking a bottle of rosé, everybody's doing that. It's not. It's very. It's, you know, it's kind of for everyone these days.
Yeah, it's the best. It's a great icebreaker. It's great at parties. Great on dates. It's pretty much great on every occasion.
Listen, and being able to talk wine with people while you're having it. I mean, one, you want to sound smart? Fucking start talking wine, right, Jeffy? Hands down. You start talking wine, you sound smart, and it's sexy, and it's fun, and it just really. If you have that person at the party, I think it's a great person to have around.
Absolutely.
And you can bullshit a lot, but you really can't bullshit that much if you start bragging about having like some 76 Beaujolais that you've been aging forever, and Sam looks at you and you're like, but that Beaujolais shouldn't really age that long.
I was just going to say, I was like, is that a really young wine? Yeah.
You might as well say, you know what, I've got some grape Kool-Aid I've got in the downstairs. I've been aging for 10 years.
I have some Red Cat from the Finger Lakes.
Wow. Yeah. Nice. You know, I bought a case of Old Gold, and I've had it downstairs aging for 16 years.
Oh, you've cellared some Old Gold, have you?
It's going to be delicious. Mm. Aaron, can we cellar Old Gold, or is that not good?
I don't even know what Old Gold is.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me?
Okay, terrific.
Old English.
Is it like Boone's Farm?
It's a Fody. No.
No, it's a Fody.
It's a Fody.
Oh, it's a 40, so it kind of is like Boone's Farm. It's not my fault.
F-O-T-E with a umlaut over the E. Fody.
Fody.
Damn it. So let me ask you this. So I see a lot. You see a lot of different type of containers now for wine. And last summer I was obsessed with this company called House Wine, I think is what it was. And their rosé in a can was phenomenal. Have you tried?
Oh yeah, it's like two glasses in one can. Too. Yeah, it's like a half bottle.
It's awesome.
You drink one of those, you're like, whoa, what just happened?
Well, the problem is, I would pound them like beers.
I was just gonna say, how do you not?
It's in a can. Isn't it? I put a koozie on this shit, like a redneck, walk around.
Yeah, those house. So cans did become super popular. And then the slim can, and then of course, like you know, which one had like the matte feel as opposed to just the regular can, and then that was trending for a while, but now all that White Claw is taking over and the seltzers.
Ah, come on with that garbage. It tastes so bad.
It's not good.
It's so gross.
I hate every... I try all of them because people try to convince me that they're going to be good.
I was on a kick for a minute, remember?
Yeah, that was because you were just a fad chaser, I think. I don't know. I don't know if that's really a... If you really like it.
What kind of chaser was I?
I don't know, like a fad... Like,
oh, the D. I thought I heard another letter there.
Whoa!
That's what I thought I heard.
What's wrong with you?
I just thought I heard. I don't know.
It's old Virginia talking.
I was laughing.
Here he comes.
It made me laugh.
So, guys, I got a question for you. What's your favorite wine vocabulary word to say? Like, when you're talking intelligent.
Ooh, smoky.
Mine is...
Silky. Oh, that was a good one.
Mine is wet rocks.
Good.
No, that's what I like a lot of times. Something very minerally. I'll say it's very has a lot of like a wet rock thing going on. Asphalt after
a
rain.
That's so great. Asphalt after rain is good. Wet rocks, but when you say wet rocks, you gotta say like, then you gotta like go a little further and say what type of rock.
Yeah, like, it's like, you know, quartz.
This is limestone.
Granite.
This is shale. Like what
after
kind of rock?
Rock
the granite. This is like wet granite.
Wet this granite. One kind of has that like, have you ever had possum anus? It has that possum anus in the background.
I never had that before. Where'd you grow up?
For old Virginia.
Did you grow up
down
in Virginia?
Down in Virginia, hate it.
Jeffy makes fun of me. I'm from Virginia originally, so. Yeah.
Where in Virginia?
Richmond.
I went to college in Fredericksburg.
Where'd you go?
Oh,
Frederick
Vegas.
Did you go to,
you mean?
Did you go to George Vegas. Mason or JMU?
No, I was in Fred Vegas at Mary Washington.
Mary what? When it was an all-girls school?
No, I'm a little bit younger than that, but. Oh.
Well, you know what I was talking about, though.
I do know, because like when I went there, they were trying to even out the ratio, so they're letting really dumb guys, and yeah, that's how they evened it out.
Hey,
so.
Wait a minute. I went to Mary Washington. What the fuck?
I know. I was just going to say.
Just kidding. I was a theater major at VCU for a long time.
Oh, no way.
And then I went to CIA and got raped in the ass, but that's a long story.
Did you ever visit the like Monticello and some of the Virginia wine districts?
I've been to all that shit.
Virginia White is garbage. I'm a fan of Viognier because of Virginia Viognier.
Ooh, Viognier is a fan. Again, Jeffy, that's a grape variety. A fantastic grape variety. Makes delicious
white
wines.
They grow wine in Virginia?
They do. No, they don't grow wine. They grow grapes.
Out of here.
They grow grapes. They don't grow wine.
Well, you know what I meant. They make wine from grapes they grow.
Jeffy's degree is from Mary Washington, clearly.
Yeah,
listen,
yeah,
first of all, I have no degrees.
That's right.
Okay? I quit everything halfway.
I thought you had a degree that you got from the internet. What was that in?
Oh, that's the degree in science and metaphysics. Yeah. And I'm also a pastor.
An ordained minister. I was going to guess that.
I am an ordained
Did
minister.
Did you marry someone?
No, I have married several people, and I'm also available for grief counseling.
Oh, okay.
The other funny part is sometimes Jeffy just marries people while they're sleeping, and then they wake up like, oh, you guys are married, and then he leaves.
I've done it. It happens.
Can we get back to Aaron now? Can we get back to the...
I'm sorry.
So,
I regress.
Let's talk. I want to talk about surfing. You grew up on Long Island, so clearly it kind of all goes hand in hand with you. Have you been surfing your whole life?
No, I started surfing later in life. I started at age 24.
Wow. So
yes.
You've been surfing. You've been drinking wine.
You've been surfing 3 years? I don't understand. What's going on?
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy.
But it kind of goes hand in hand because, I mean, you want to travel the world and there's great wine and there's great surf. It kind of goes hand in hand, right?
It kind of does. I mean, there's a lot of wine districts that have amazing maritime influence. So, you know, well, the whole coast of California, the whole coast of Australia, Margaret River, New Zealand, the Azores. Have you guys ever heard about that island chain off the coast of Portugal?
Jeffy's
the
been
Azores?
There. Jeffy's
have you been there?
There? Yeah, Jeff's been there.
Yeah, Portugal
Did
many
you go
times.
To the island of wine?
He was at that island, but he had a fishing trip there where they were spearfishing. And how long were you there for?
Well, I was marooned there for several months.
Hurricane.
Oh. Fishing accident, actually.
Yeah. Well,
sounds like there is really good surf there.
He gets very upset about it, so we don't talk about it. Sorry, okay. He got mad. He just gave me the eye. He's like, "Why do you keep bringing that up?" But yeah, no. So there's great surf there, which is awesome. I mean, have you been there to surf or no?
No, not yet, but I'm going.
Where are your top three places you want to go surf?
For wine and surf, or just for surf?
Do both. Yeah. So for wine and surf.
So for wine and surf, I guess Margaret River, Australia.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's on my list. What else for wine and surf? Well, so I also kiteboard, and so there's a lot of kiteboarding in Italy.
Kiteboarding is badass. Just explain what kiteboarding is so everyone knows what we're talking about.
Okay, so kiteboarding is like the more modern version of windsurfing. Instead of being on a surfboard with one sail, you're on like a wakeboard or like a little snowboard, and you have a harness on, and you have an inflatable kite that's you're controlling, and it's pulling you kind of like a boat would pull you on a wakeboard.
Yo, that shit is mad dangerous. I watched a guy get picked up and tossed on the goddamn ground at about 100 miles an hour, scared the living shit out of
me. Now it sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting,
real.
It's very
I was at Scotty Cameron, and I was hanging out. And I'm like, you know what I mean, hanging out, lunch break style. I'm in the car.
Right.
You know, I'm eating a little sandwich. Might be partaking on something to mellow me out. You know what I mean? Over here mellowing in the car. And I'm watching these dudes do just what she's saying, the big inflatable shit.
They're the big
whoosh,
uh-huh.
whoosh. And all of a sudden, homeboy literally, out of nowhere, gets picked up, boom, up in the goddamn air, and then, what the bam, onto the beach. And
wow.
I'm just watching like, did that just fucking happen? I couldn't believe it. I thought he was
that
dead.
That's incredible.
Homeboy gets up. They bring him to the hospital. I ran over to see, but
was he hurt?
Yeah, he was fucked
up.
Yeah,
you get if you hit the beach, if you ever hit sand and not water, you're
he went up.
It
had to be 20, 30 feet, and I'm
That's
talking
incredible.
In like two blinks of an eye, he was in the air, and I'm like,
this sounds
oh?
like a terrible idea, Aaron. You shouldn't do this anymore.
It makes me
idea.
Nervous.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Yeah,
do it
but you can do it safely. You
well,
can...
a friend told me that you're supposed to unharness.
Yeah.
If that happens, like
so when you're 20 feet, just
unharness
and fall to the ground.
You unhook or you let go. Right. But I guess homeboy was real into it, and he was trying to like.
He's like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna get this."
Well, some people can like pop up, and then they can like control it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, or whatever. But not this dude.
All right. So, wow. That's
so. So some of the places that have like wind swell where you can surf and kiteboard. is Italy, because it's all wind-driven, and Austria, and New Zealand. So
you can kite surf in Austria?
Wait, you know, a lot of people do it.
Yeah, there's a huge lake there.
In Westerly, Rhode Island, a bunch of people do that shit there, I guess because of the way the winds are there.
Yeah, and anywhere that there's like a good, strong wind.
Now, do you kite surf while drinking wine?
No. That would be stupid.
Would it, or would it be
super dangerous?
It's already super dangerous. No,
exactly.
I had a stunt
Me and Plum on. Live on the edge.
We do.
We do a lot of things drinking.
We like to rock. Sometimes we'll smoke cigarettes while getting our gas pumped.
Exactly. Well,
yeah.
I roll the window down. I'm like,
we do that.
The guy's like, what are you listening to? I'm like, fucking Def Leppard. What do you think I'm listening to?
I've been known to drop my mask in public.
That's it. And I'm like, I'll sing Pour Some Sugar on Me in front of all these fuckers. I don't give a shit.
Right now.
Listen.
Amen. In the name of love.
I don't think it's Pour Some Sugar on Me. Sorry, Aaron. We get distracted very easily. It's an ADD
That's
program.
Okay.
I can't
Squirrel.
Help it. Tell me, people who are just now starting to, who are thinking about getting into wine or want to check wine out, or I don't know, like how would you recommend someone becoming a wine person or someone who enjoys drinking wine? Like, what do you think is an easy in for them? You know, for me, I always tell people, try a Sauvignon Blanc. I think it's an easy in. People usually like it, something like that. Or, well, I'll let you answer first, and I'll tell you what I've watched another good friend of ours do so we can make fun of him together.
So I would recommend some easy reading books like The Wine Bible, because it's very romantic. It tells stories, and it has like little blurbs about cheese and about monks and about other stuff, and so it's a really nice way to learn about wine as opposed to reading your CIA textbook or something.
Sounds
really
like my
dry
journal.
Like the wine
my
atlas.
Education.
Like, you don't need to be reading about like all the subsoils. It just gets a little bit too nerdy.
Yeah, but
so find a book
you're
or like wine
on my education
following.
Now. That's terrible.
Find some books that you like and then start drinking wine. Every day try something different. Like, don't always drink New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. But if you like Sauvignon Blanc, know that you might like wines that are malo-blocked, which are blocked from malolactic fermentation. They're usually barreled in stainless steel. So when I have a Sauvignon Blanc drinker, I turn them on to Albarino. I turn them on to Grüner Veltliner. I turn them on to Vermentino, Vernaccia. And I find Sauvignon Blancs from California because they taste different. They're a little more fruity, and they're like a little more lemon and less grapefruit. And I tell people to go to farmer's markets and taste different fruits and like really understand the difference between like, I don't know, a blueberry from Maine, which are like super tiny and concentrated and have a very cool taste, and then try a blueberry from out here. And try all different fruits. Try cherries. Try stone fruits. Know the difference between citrus and stone fruit, and then herbs. And finding non-fruit descriptors to build your wine vocabulary is a really cool thing. So getting up with chefs who are using very fun ingredients all the time—that's a fun way to learn about wine. Going on dates a lot—that's a great way.
Dates. That doesn't help some of us.
I mean, then you don't have to pay for it, usually.
My wife would be super pissed if I started dating for wine.
But if we told her that we're learning more about wine, and that's why we have to do it.
Yeah, well, maybe. If it's for work.
We're like, the surfing psalm said we should go on dates to learn more about wine.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, if we dated each other,
like,
I guess
she
that'd
recommended
be all
right. Grindr for you guys. Like, just you don't want to offend anyone.
What's that about?
Well, so let me ask you this. So what would be
I'll
some
get on
suggestions?
There. Is that something good?
Some suggestions for wine, like for someone who wants to ease into, like, actually drinking wine, like what would you suggest for them to start with?
I would suggest bottles under $15 or under $20 so that they're not like, you know, breaking the bank. And I would suggest, yeah, I would probably also agree with you. I think Sauvignon Blanc is a very approachable wine that people really like, and it has a lot of acid in it, and acidity is a beautiful thing with food. So Sauvignon Blanc is a great place to start.
If you want to go reds, I would say Pinot Noir. It's a great middle of the road, kind of fits everywhere.
Yeah, I would always start with a thinner skin grape. So Pinot Noirs, Barbera d'Alba.
You want to spend a little extra money? A nice Barolo.
Yeah, then, oh my God, Nebbiolo is my favorite red grape besides Pinot Noir. Those two are my favorite reds.
The clone of the Barolo grape.
No, Barolo is not a grape. Barolo is a district.
Sorry,
Nebbiolo.
I'm drinking.
You almost had it. Oh yeah, Nebbiolo. But yeah, going into a wine shop and then always trying different things and ask the wine people. They love talking about it. There's nothing or wine store all day and just say, oh, you know, I like this, this, and this, so what should I try next? And you'll be able to get a lot of help, but you'll be able to try different things, try different foods, look up a recipe, try making some kind of spicy Asian, and then revisit Riesling, those dry Rieslings from Germany and from Alsace. People underestimate Riesling, but it's a really, really enjoyable wine when you get the dry ones, the Cabernets from Mosel, the driest styles.
Wow. Well, there you go. I mean, and obviously, rosés are great in the summertime to give a go to.
Yeah, except for like Sangiovese rosé. I don't like those. I don't like Cabernet Franc rosés too much. You know, Chinon is a very famous district in the Loire Valley, and they make 100% Cabernet Franc, but they are making some rosés from Cab Franc. So when you look at the color, they're a little darker because the skins are more colorful. They're deeper, darker skin. And those ones are kind of fun to drink. Like if you were going to do a rosé flight, look at the color of the rosés, try your Provence, then try the Chinon, and then maybe try, I don't really want to recommend it, but they do make a sparkling Shiraz that Psalms are like super into. I don't like them, but yeah.
All right.
Everyone's palate's different. It's like art. It's very subjective. There's really no wrong answer. And if you like white wine with steak, do it.
Well, last one for me, Jeffy, for her. What do you do when you have a friend who walks around New York City drinking bottles of port?
Port?
Yeah.
Well, he's a pirate, to be fair.
True story. Like, how do you handle that with your friends? Like, what would you say to them?
I mean, I wouldn't hang out with them for too long because they would get fucked up real quick.
Drinking bottles of port. I don't get it. Jeffy, where can we find some more information about Aaron?
Well, you're going to go to your Instagram right now. You're going to type in at SurfingSom with two M's, and you're going to follow her. You're going to like some of her photos because they're amazing, and then you're going to hit her up in the DMs and be like, when's your next class? When am I going to be able to learn from you? Because she's dropping bombs over here.
That's true.
We're talking serious knowledge.
You know who I was thinking about telling her I should connect her with is our friend Madison at Hungry, because I think she could do some online classes with Hungry.
That would be awesome.
Hungry,
absolutely.
And people would be into a corporate
absolutely
style.
And I think she would be like, I would love to do a dinner with you sometime, Aaron. I think it would be a lot of fun.
Sure.
I would love to write a menu and have you pair some awesome wines with it. I think you would have some creative choices, which
Jeffy
would be a lot
of
fun.
Jeffy has no budget, too, so you should do that.
Oh, beautiful. Are you out in Montauk?
I'm everywhere. They call me International Jeffy. I don't know if you know
that.
Intercontinental in some states.
Mm-hmm. Not the world champ, intercontinental champ.
Wine dinners are my favorite. Wine classes are my other favorite. So,
Jeffy's so what like do you know about the Finger Lakes?
The Finger Lakes? They grow... they make dessert wines up there.
Because it's so cold.
I'm from there, God damn it. They make
ice wines.
Well, Riesling is a generally sweeter grape.
Which it is a little sweeter, but they make great dry Riesling, too.
Well,
they also they have a lot of great Austrian style wines actually up in that region. It's interesting.
Cold.
Oh, so are they growing like Gruner?
Yeah, there's some Gruners and I'm from there, that's why I'm asking.
In New York, Long Island and the Finger Lakes are the two most prominent regions for grape growing.
Do they grow any grapes in a place like Detroit? Does anything grow there?
You know, I think they grow some kind of wine in like all 50 states.
They
crack. Sometimes it's
they
fruit
grow,
wine.
They grow crack.
Yeah, they grow some crack over there.
Aaron, a lot of fun hanging out with you tonight. We appreciate your time, and we look forward to working together in the future. I'm sure we definitely would have done more if it wasn't in COVID. What was that, Jeffy?
I was just wondering if we could let's. If we gave you a dish, like say we came up with some dishes right now, could you pair something with it?
Yes.
Could we get a couple other chefs on the line? Maybe we can get Dave on the line and then have people just like hit you with a couple dishes?
Do it. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Sounds great. All right, here we go. Jeffy, you can go first.
Absolutely. All right.
What are you cooking?
All right. I'm going to smoke a Wagyu tenderloin, and then I'm going to caramelize some peaches, and I'm going to put them on the plate, slice shingled warm tenderloin. I'm going to top it with some crispy shallots and some blue cheese foam.
I would pair that with Amarone. I would go straight big on that, guys.
Like raisiny, really?
Yeah, well, because the Wagyu, and then you got the sweetness of the peaches, and the Amarone has a lot of sweetness, but it also has high alcohol and really good tannin structure.
I love an Amarone. That's an interesting choice. I wouldn't have thought that.
So when you said the blue cheese, like that's a contrasting kind of pairing, almost like a sauterne with blue cheese. And I think the Amarone would do really, really nicely with the sweetness of the peaches. You got your awesome little Wagyu tenderloin, and then the blue cheese, which with a lot of fat, and I think the Amarone would have the alcohol and the power and then to kind of cut through that and complement it nicely.
Okay.
I would love to do it. I would love to try it. Sounds
I'm
great.
Surprised. I would if we took a bet, I never would have bet you would have said Amarone.
Did you think I was going to go Cabernet?
Well, I don't know if you go to Cab or I don't
was
know.
Was I going
to
go like Left Bank?
I'm excited. I'm glad you went Amarone because I wasn't expecting it at all. And I love those kind of pairings. They get me really excited. Like when I see somebody who goes, no, no, try this with it. I get really
well, you know
into
what? We'd have to do a taste test. We might have to go Valpolicella. We might have to go like a little baby Amarone. Yeah, like if it was too big, I don't know. We'd have to see.
All right. My turn.
All right.
I'm going to do a fantastic... I'm going to do an oven roasted unpopulate mahi mahi.
What's right? Unpopulate?
Means I'm going to wrap it essentially in wax paper in the envelope, like in a little pouch.
It's basically steamed in a bag.
Yeah. And inside of that, I'm going to put some young garlic so it doesn't have that harsh garlickiness to it, some shallots that are going to be sliced nice and thin. And then I'm going to serve that over my Plum's world famous beans and greens, which is kale and cannellini beans done with tomatoes. And I'm going to top that with some beautiful crispy leeks right on top of there. That's probably going to be the dish. That's going to be a nice, light, summery
that's
dish.
Beautiful. Right? I would go with Sancerre.
Oh, okay.
My initial
I can
thought
see that.
Was Sancerre because it has gooseberry, has bramble, has a little more green. Then like and has a little softer acidity and like a lot of that the Kimmergian clay brings out some like mineral in it, so I think it'd be a nice pairing with that without over pairing it. Like I think the a New Zealand would just be a little bit too racy. I think a Sancerre would complement that nicely.
Wow, I think that's actually a good call. I never thought about that. That's a damn good call.
I like that. Surfing Psalm, slapping them down. Listen to this lady.
All right. Jeffy, give her one more, and I'll give her one more.
All right. All right, this time I'm going to make a like a smoked Peking duck, but I'm going to glaze it with sour cherry, and then I'm going to serve it on a plate with scallion pancakes, cucumber, and pieces of sour cherry pickle.
Damn it, Sangiovese. I'm going Chianti Classico with that one.
That's a good call.
Mainly because of all your sour cherry notes. At first, when you said smoked Peking duck, I was totally thinking Rhone. I was like, oh, we're doing Chateauneuf. And then once you got all the cherry components, I would go with Chianti Classico.
Nice. Nicely done. Just hang on one second, Aaron. Jeffy, is that smoke in here?
Wait.
Do you see it?
I do see it.
Do you smell the smoke? Yeah. What is that?
On the
what
fucking is strobe light.
Why are the strobe
fire.
Lights turning on? What the fuck is happening? Oh!
What the? Oh! Who saw this
who
coming?
Who saw this coming? Triumphant return to the program
after a walkabout for weeks.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, Chef Dave, to the program. Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's up, Bebop Rocksteady?
What are we, Ninja Turtle people?
Well,
now?
With that hair, yeah.
Oh, he's fucking with my hair.
Yo.
He's fucking with my hair. All right, look. Dave, we're talking to the Surfing Psalm. We're giving her dishes. She's pairing them up for us. What do you got? Give us a dish. Say hi to her, by the way.
How you doing, Surfing Psalm?
What's up, Dave?
Not much. I made this last week. Black garlic tahini, octopus.
All right, wait. Time out, Dave. If you're going to describe something, pull the dick out of your mouth.
And load down.
And talk. Like, you're like...
Get excited.
Say it slow and say what the dish is. But
look me in the eye when you do it. Make eye contact. Come on. Lots of eye contact.
Right.
Come on. Now you know I like that.
Now it's weird. Oh, hey, this is making it easier. Okay, it's a black garlic tahini.
Yeah, it is.
A cilantro pea stew and octopus.
Jeez.
Are you fucking kidding me? Dave's dish throws her for a fucking loop?
Well, he's got tahini, he's got octopus, he's got cilantro, he's got pea slaw. I'm going to go with the Pinot Blanc from Alsace. That's what I'm going to go with for that one.
Something bright to pull that tahini off your tongue.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, and then you want something good with like the octopus, and you don't
want something
too
overbearing.
So I would go with that.
Wow. I think that's a fantastic pairing, actually.
Surfing song. Spinning Aaron, heads tonight.
I'm impressed. I wasn't expecting you to come out like that.
You heard it on Plum Love Foods Lies, ladies and gentlemen. Surfing Som. Go follow her now on Instagram at Surfing Som.
That's right. Last one for me. Here we go. So I'm going to make something that no one's ever seen before. Are you ready? Here we go.
Bam.
I'm going to take the skins of a potato. I'm going to put chili and cheese on them. I'm going to melt them. No, wait, just Jeff, hang on a second. Right, hang on a second.
You got me. I'm here.
And then I'm going to serve that. However, not only that, I'm also then going to take this type of cheese called a mozzarella.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to bread it. It may come pre-breaded from a place. All right, Dave, I'm not sure if you know what I'm talking about here. We're going to deep fry it and serve it with a sauce tomate or a tomato sauce. Now, wait. I'm going to call it an anytizer.
An anytizer?
An anytizer?
Oh. Can I get 5 for 5?
You can get 5 for 5. That's right. That's right. I'm just kidding, Aaron. You're not going to pair that. You're going to be like, you can have that with a Long Island iced tea. It'll be delicious.
Oh, my God. It'd be so good. I make the best Long Island iced teas.
It's hard to fuck that drink up. What are you talking about? You're the best.
It
I believe it.
It's so hard to fuck it up. As long as you grab all 4 bottles of booze at once and then hit it with simple syrup, a little lemonade, shake it.
Do you do like the cocktail thing where you grab all 4 bottles of booze at once?
Yeah, yeah.
Hang on a second.
Bottles of booze at once?
Everybody, I just need you to be quiet for a second. Jeffy just... There we go. Jeffy had a little bit of a car wreck there. Did you hear that? Oh, my God.
You know, I eat 400 or 500 grams of edibles before the show every night, and then they all hit me at once. Train.
Aaron, you've been a lot of fun to talk to. We appreciate you playing our pairing game with us. It was a lot of fun. Does anybody have one more dish for her?
Dave?
No.
Nope. Oh, I got one for you.
All right.
Okay.
I've got one, too.
I got a butter roasted cod with a cipollini and corn soubise. And
the fuck is soubise?
Soubise is like a traditionally an onion beef stock puree. It's like you cook onions down slow for a long time and then you puree them.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool.
So I do one with like a tiny bit of white miso with corn and cipollinis, and I cook it down for a really long time.
Cipollini.
There's no CH though.
It's no, but it's like a C in the I make the ch sound.
Does that?
Aren't you Italian? Is it Italian thing?
Yeah, but I'm a garbage Italian. I'm from Long Island. I don't fucking know anything.
All right. Sorry.
My family says stuff like "Gubla Gaba Goo."
I'll let you continue. Sorry, I interrupt.
I would go with the Willamette Valley Pinot Noir with that one.
Wow, she's going northwest with that.
Pinot yeah, Willamette Valley Pinot Noir. I was going to go Chardonnay with the cod and the butter roasted, but then when you had the beef stock puree and the corn, I was like,
No. There's not a beef stock puree. It's very light. There's like a little beef stock in mostly onions
and
corn.
Oh, so the sauce isn't like dark or anything?
No, it's not dark. It's kind of like bright yellow.
Oh, and okay, so then I can go with my oak bomb. Okay, I'll go Marisol. Let's go right to Marisol.
Oh.
Burgundy.
White Burgundy.
Oak bomb,
I like
my
that.
My favorite district in Burgundy.
That's my favorite, too.
That was the first band that we ever formed. Me and Jeffy was called White Burgundy.
Oh, I thought it was called Meursault. Like, damn.
that was the rap group I had with Dave.
Yeah. Meursault was the rap group, White Burgundy, and now we're in Two-Headed Camel.
That's true. Two-Headed Camel's the name of the band. Aaron, you've been a lot of fun to talk to tonight, man. We really appreciate you taking some time and hanging out with us.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I can't wait to do some fun wine dinners with all the guys out here in the Hamptons.
Let's do it.
Dude, I'll tell you what. We would already be doing it if it wasn't fucking for COVID.
Ugh. Fuck COVID.
Is there a particular wine we could give COVID to drink that would go away?
It sounds like one of you guys is making some random-ass White Zinfandel with tons of capitalization, like adding sugar right into it and putting it into a Capri Sun pouch. I don't know.
I'm also going to put caffeine in it,
smartass.
That's a good ass idea. That's a good ass idea.
All right.
Jeffy is making the first ever wine energy drink. It's going to be
amazing.
Jeffy's
love.
Jeffy's love.
That sounds like Sparks.
No, it's not Sparks. It's Jeffy's love.
That's right.
And it's White Zinfandel.
Okay.
It also comes in grape and orange. You mean rosé. Well, purple and orange rosé.
That's amazing. I love all these things.
German and South American.
That's right. Well, Aaron, I hope you got some laughs tonight, and you gave us some great knowledge.
You guys are great.
You're so much fun. We appreciate your time, and I'll see you later this weekend, I'm sure.
All right.
I don't get out to Gosman's, but if I do, I'll look you up.
You should for sure. That's for sure. Make sure you follow her on Instagram, too, at SurfingSom with two M's on the Instagram. Aaron, we'll talk to you on down the road, all right?
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. There she goes, guys. The Surfing Som. A lot of fun to talk to, Jeffy.
Dude, she's awesome. And she's dropping lots of knowledge.
Yo, she took me off guard with that. I wasn't expecting that.
Well, the pairings are amazing, but her knowledge in general of wine is zero jokes.
Killed it.
Like, you'd ask her a question, and she went from, like, ha ha, to serious science.
Well, what I thought was great
is
that
she knew everything.
Well, she didn't hesitate. There was no hesitation.
No, that's what I'm saying. And it was like both hats flipped back. Like, she was like, oh, Surfing Som, super cool. Yeah. All of a sudden, you'd ask her a question, and it would be like the professor of wine.
Right.
It
was dope. She's great.
I love that. Like, I love how knowledgeable she was and how, like, it didn't sound pretentious at all. It sounded so like, well, no, let's just do this and this and this, and they have this thing, and this is how it, you know, it was like awesome.
It was great.
I really enjoyed the conversation.
We got a couple minutes left here on the show, Jeffy, and I think we need to address right off the bat.
Your hair?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, what happened to it?
Wait, Dave, we need to address this. Where the fuck have you been?
Places.
That's not an answer.
That's a fuck. That is an answer.
Did you say dentist? You were the dentist?
No, places.
What kind of places?
All
the
of
dentist.
Them.
Did you learn something?
Sometimes.
Did you buy stuff?
Oh yeah.
Did you bring us a T-shirt?
Nope.
Damn it!
Where were you exactly?
Like, was it in the state?
In New York? Well, you can't leave New York State because of COVID.
No, that's true. Anywhere. You couldn't leave the state.
You can leave it. If I can leave the country, I can leave the state.
But did you leave the country?
I might have swam.
You swam to another country?
That did happen. He swam to Canada and they kicked him out.
That was a long time ago.
Right. So that didn't happen recently.
No.
Did you go with people?
Mm-mm.
Did you catch a wallaby?
That's 21. All right, let's move on to the next one.
That's 21.
Big shout out to our friend, the Surfing Som, Aaron Swain, for joining us tonight. A lot of fun talking to her, catching us off guard. There was some killer wine knowledge. You can follow her at Surfing Som on dim Instagrams. She's a great follow. Make sure you check her out there. Send her some messages, man. She'll answer questions for you. She's pretty dope. We appreciate her time tonight. That's right. Jeffy's got the sound effect. What do you call that?
It's a DJ rap horn. Air horn.
Oh. You should see his face when he does it. He looks like someone just gave him a caramel or something.
I am so happy.
Well, check it out, you guys. We're going to get on down the road here, but we'll be back here next week. That's next Thursday as we begin to put a bow on the summertime. It'll be myself. It'll be Jeffy. It'll be Dave. Dave, are you back or are you not back?
I don't know. I just return and I get 3 minutes, so probably no. I won't be here next week.
What do you want? You want more time?
92 minutes.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know yet.
We asked you and you gave us no answers.
Yeah, I gave you tons of answers.
Well, you said 21 and put the mic down.
Yep.
Dave, we try really hard.
Really hard.
Really hard.
Really hard.
And you're not giving us anything.
Nothing. You're like,
you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
It hurts. Listen,
off the mic, all we hear about from Dave is like crazy hunting stories, and he catches fish, and he's like,
look at my new beaver pelts.
Yeah, he's wearing beaver pelts, and he's like, you know.
Did you see my new bandolier?
Sexcapades, and other wild.
He has a sexcapade bandolier.
And then we get him on the air, and we get stuff like places.
Yeah, and yes, no. Countries.
Do you like what you're eating?
Dave, are you a fan of corn dogs?
I love corn dogs. It's one of my favorite fucking foods.
Shaped like a dick.
That answers all of our questions.
Whatever. All the good foods are shaped like dicks.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Name four great foods shaped like dicks.
All right. Doing? Corn dog, Twinkies, hot dog, sausage.
Hot dogs and corn dogs are the same thing.
No, it's not.
It's the same thing.
No, fuck out of here. Okay, when I put a hot dog on a bun, is it a fucking corn dog? No.
Oh, my God.
Donuts, eclairs especially.
Eclairs?
Those
donuts are not shaped like dicks.
If you get one of those Long Johns when it's cream-filled or whatever, it looks like a dick.
Did you call it a Long John? Isn't it an eclair?
No.
I've never heard of a Long John donut.
Maybe it's a Michigan thing, but they're delicious.
Oh, man, it sounds like one of your uncles made it for you. Oh,
all right, man. Look, we do have to, before we move on, we have to answer a couple of questions here. I mean, not questions. We got to get to the, we got to get to our, we were talking about some summertime foods.
What did we talk about?
Summertime foods. I asked the question on Instagram. Tell me some of your favorite summertime foods.
Ooh, give me some.
So we've got to go through here, and I got to get a couple of them. That's a lot. Cinnamon brought out here. He got very specific. Ceviche, fennel salad, and grilled pizza. First of all.
Is that the same thing? Like all on, like he, like a.
Wait, on a pizza? It says ceviche, comma, fennel salad, comma, grilled pizza.
How the fuck are you going to grill ceviche?
No, all right. What he means is grilled flatbread topped with ceviche and a fennel salad.
I would eat it.
Is what I think he means.
Maybe.
And I'm sure it's delicious.
I call that some Navy bullshit.
That is some Navy bullshit. But we know what kind of budget he's working on.
That's right. Coming in here from Chef Tijan, one of my favorite chefs on Instagram.
Bam.
She shouts out corn on the cob. I got to agree. Corn on the cob is awesome.
Summer, corn on the cob.
Summertime.
It's the only time to eat it.
A lot of things you can do with it.
Right now.
You can't you can't eat corn on the cob.
Another dick-shaped food.
Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. He's correct. Very good. There's four. All right. I stand corrected. All good foods are shaped like dicks.
That's true.
The best foods are shaped like dicks.
Why does he keep talking about it?
Some candy bars look like dicks.
Can I turn his mic off?
No. Nope.
I like to take the cobs when I'm done and cook them in like I'm making stock. Take the cobs and cook them down for about, you know.
What do you do with that corn stock?
A couple hours. I make a nice little creamy corn broth, and sometimes I just drink it. Really? As I stare at the cobs, it's delicious. I let it dribble down my beard, and then look at everybody like I made it funny.
Cool.
All right. Also coming in here from our friend Castle Beckons on Instagram. She says corn on the grill, which is fantastic, but also steamers, which is a very New England way of saying clams.
Yeah. Well, steamers are a certain type of clam.
Yeah, but I don't think they have steamers in, like, Texas.
Clams are not dick-shaped.
Well, because you're not going to get those little pisser. That's a piss clam, right? The steamers?
We don't call it that because that's a terrible name.
All right. The clams with the little things that hang off the side, do you got to peel off like little condoms and then enjoy them?
You talking about the ones you like throw in the water and cornmeal?
They have little steamers.
Yeah.
It's a steamer, yes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They got the little things on the side.
Yeah.
It's like a little like woo-hoo.
The ones
you know what I'm talking about?
It's a little woo-hoo.
You know what I'm talking about.
Those are delicious.
It's dick-shaped.
Again, another dick-shaped food. It's amazing.
Summertime is full of dick-shaped foods.
Good ones, too. I mean...
Also coming in here from Porcelain Pinata, she says, watermelon. We blend it up in margaritas or make a salad with mint, olives, and feta.
Ooh, that's good.
Watermelon's good. Another dick-shaped food.
That's a weird dick.
What?
Yeah, I was like, maybe you're a dick.
Is that not... What?
Dick's not
how is
like
watermelon dick shape?
It's, well...
Aren't they circles?
That's what it's like. It's kind of thick and... No?
Oh, you mean like old school watermelons with the seeds, the long kind of like giant
No,
ones.
I mean like the ones you buy now. Like they're just like...
Are you talking about like a chode?
What's kind
of, well, I get like circles. Most of my watermelons are circles. They look like more like balls.
Well, I have a... All right. I think her watermelon salad sounds delicious.
Yeah, I've never seen a dick shape.
I make margaritas with watermelon too.
I'd love a margarita watermelon.
Yeah.
Watermelon margarita.
You know what I miss doing?
You just pour
remember
a
when you were a kid?
Inside the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember when you did that when you were a kid and you'd spike watermelons?
Yeah.
You get a watermelon, you cut a little hole in it, and you dump vodka in it and shit, and then you take it to the, like the
yeah.
kegger.
I was on
super drunk.
I was on Connecticut Style, CT Style, with our good friend Ryan Christopher.
I
almost called him
Chef
Ryan Christopher. And I cut a hole in the top of a watermelon, and I took my power drill with a coat hanger and jabbed it in there and turned the shit on and chopped it all up with the coat hanger and the power drill, and I poured vodka into it and put a spout on it. I said, this is how you make a wonderful watermelon beverage for the pool.
That's I remember that. I remember that episode.
Something else with the hole in watermelon.
Don't worry about that.
No, he screwed the little spigot in, too. It was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, and Ryan was like, why is a power drill in the refrigerator? And I never even addressed that. I just left. And then when I finished, I put the power drill back in the refrigerator. And he was like, wait, why do you... I was like, this is delicious. This is great. Anyway, well, there you go. Summertime foods. Jeffy, what's one of your favorite summertime foods? We'll each do a favor, then get out of here.
I'd have to say one of my favorite summertime foods is probably barbecue chicken.
Delicious.
Yeah. I love, like, slow-roasted barbecue chicken on the grill, charcoal. Yeah. I just love that.
Sounds great. Dave?
Ribs, and tomatoes,
and cucumbers.
Another dick-shaped food, cucumber.
He's supposed to say one.
Dave loves dick-shaped.
Just one? Foods.
Yeah.
Oh. Probably dicks. Ribs. Ribs during the summertime.
Ribs are delicious. I would be hard-pressed to not agree with him with that. I think, it's tough. I think barbecue for me as a whole, whether it's end of summer and fall, I think it's very good for two seasons. But I don't like barbecue in the spring.
I like barbecue year-round, personally.
I think I eat barbecue whenever.
I eat smoky barbecue.
Yeah.
Every goddamn day.
I'm with you on that.
Not, like, if I had a smoker, I would be 500 pounds.
Do you have a smoker?
No, if I had, like, a serious smoker. Like, if I owned a, like, barbecue joint.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty scary for your
boy. Speaking of barbecue, we're supposed to have Chris Sexton on tonight from Hoodoo Brown. A little communication errors. We're going to get him on soon.
Great.
But it's all good. Anyway, awesome. Check it out. Let's get out of here. It's been a great program, a lot of fun. Jeffy, shout out to you. Dave, shout out to you. Big shout out to our guest tonight, the Surfing Som on Instagram with 2 M's, Surfing Som. Check her out there. In the meantime, in the between time, friends, please remember food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food.
Food.
Let's make sure we give it the time it deserves. And we'll see you guys next week right here on Plumlo Foods Live. Peace.
From the Tower of Power, too sweet to be sour, I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.